A bomb scare spreads across the United States.
That device, very similar to the other devices that have been located in the last 48 hours. And it all appears to be from the same sender.
It's Friday, October 26th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead this half hour, tensions rise again between China and Taiwan. Saudi's crown prince speaks about the Khashoggi murder and fashion with a purpose. It's all ahead on today's VOA Asia. Authorities continue to retrieve more bombs sent to prominent Democrats and their supporters. Suspected mail bombs so far have been sent to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Attorney General Eric Holder, as well as sitting Congresswoman Maxine Waters and Democratic supporters George Soros and Robert De Niro, among others. U.S. President Donald Trump is largely blaming the media for an angry political atmosphere in America.
There is one way to settle our disagreements. It's called peacefully at the ballot box. That's what we want. That's what we want. As part of a larger national effort to bridge our divides and bring people together, the media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories. Have to do it. Have to do it. They've got to stop.
In his Twitter feed Thursday, the president suggested the media was a big part of anger in the United States today. He said it was hateful beyond description and called on the mainstream media to, quote, clean up its act fast. VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman spoke with VOA's Sarah Williams about Mr. Trump's latest tweet on the media.
The president had mentioned the news media in his rally last evening in Wisconsin, where he called for unity and people to watch their language. But today he's back to the Donald Trump that's very familiar on Twitter and lashing out at the media, referring to it again as fake news and saying it's gotten so bad and hateful that it is beyond description, and calling for the mainstream media to clean up its act fast. And, of course, as you might imagine, some of the mainstream media, some of the reporters, basically tossing this back towards the president, saying they're reporting objectively on the things that he's doing and saying. And if there's anybody who's most responsible for this angry political atmosphere we have in the country right now, it is the president of the United States.
He seems to have particularly clashed with CNN. Also, he also often mentions the New York Times. But CNN, the New York Bureau of CNN, was one of those places targeted with these devices yesterday.
Right. I would note, however, that recently when he has sparred directly with correspondents from CNN and the New York Times, he has both criticized them and then praised some of their reporting. So it depends on a day-to-day basis of where he's at on that. And I should mention that he continues to take questions from both CNN and the New York Times regularly, even giving the New York Times correspondents here at the White House a recent interview in the Oval Office.
Actually, I have heard that one editor was saying that he actually speaks to the press more than former President Barack Obama did.
Oh, he's extremely available, not in the way that we had seen in previous administrations where you would have these formal news conferences, but he takes questions during the so-called pool sprays, when a group of photographers, videographers, and journalists, including broadcasters, come in a small group to usually watch the president sign something. President Obama did not speak during those. Going out to the South Lawn to board Marine One, again, President Obama and other presidents would rarely stop to answer questions, but more often than not, President Trump stops. And I've also thrown questions at him, besides in the Oval Office, also on airport tarmacs when he'll come over and speak to a small group of us. So in that way, he is extremely available and responsive to the White House press.
Well, meanwhile, there's continuing investigation into this almost across the nation, the discovery of these various devices all along the East Coast and as well as Congresswoman Maxine Waters' office out in California.
Right. I think at this hour we're up to 10 separate suspected devices that have been found, sent to Hillary Clinton, who, of course, ran against President Trump, former President Barack Obama, who was Trump's predecessor. And according to the FBI, now two devices or suspected devices in packages that were sent to former Vice President Joe Biden.
VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak and his ex-Treasury chief were jointly charged Thursday with criminal breach of trust involving $1.6 billion. Pakistan has freed Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, co-founder of the Taliban. Chinese spies often eavesdrop on President Donald Trump when he uses his unsecure cell phone to gossip with old friends, according to the New York Times. And Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan vowed to hold peace talks with arch-rival India following elections in that neighboring country. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more at voanews.com. And VOA Asia continues. China's defense ministry Thursday said it found the meeting last week between Defense Minister Wei Fenghe and U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis in Singapore constructive. In those talks, Mattis called for deepening bilateral contacts to ease tensions and avoid inadvertent conflict. However, at a security meeting in Beijing, Wei denounced recent remarks by Vice President Mike Pence, who charged China with interfering in America's electoral process. Wei said trying to separate China from Taiwan will be met with resolute military action, and China will pay any price that has to be paid. He also maintained that the islands of the South China Sea have long been Chinese territory, and defense facilities there are a matter of self-defense, not militarization. At the Warsaw Security Forum this week, Wednesday, retired U.S. Lieutenant General Ben Hodges raised eyebrows by predicting conflict with China as a very strong likelihood, but not inevitable. Hodges cited a recent near miss between an American and Chinese warship in the South China Sea, trade tensions, intellectual property theft, and China's expansive infrastructure spending. Brad Glosserman, a visiting professor at the Tokyo-based Tama University Center for Rulemaking Strategy, told VOA's Victor Beatty this was a message aimed primarily at Europe.
He's really trying to prod them to do more in their own defense and just remind them that U.S. has eyes on a number of theaters and that it's probably, and perhaps rightfully, more concerned about the potential for conflict in the Pacific. And if you spend any time in Europe, as I have several times this year, China is a very, very distant place and distant challenge, not even threat yet. So I think that's probably the most important way to start. You know, it presumes that China continues on the trajectory that it's on and that given the sense of conflict that's coming, that we don't do anything about changing that, about changing Chinese behavior and about building ways to dampen potential sources of conflict. What this is this notion of this Thucydides trap, right? This idea that rising powers invariably trigger conflict with established status quo powers. And I'm extremely skeptical of that. And again, mostly because I just don't believe that in over a 15-year time period, we can't get in front of this problem, even though the general is right to note that accidents do happen.
We do have a more, what's being described often in news reports, assertive China, particularly in the South China Sea. You had that incident of a near miss between two warships, one American and one Chinese, just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. And like I said, accidents do happen. We've begun conversations with the Chinese about coming up with codes of conduct and ways for military vessels and militaries to interact in areas like this. Yeah, and we've had accidents like this before. If you go back to 2001 when our two planes collided in the South China Sea as well. So this is not unusual, and sometimes what you need is a sobering incident, precisely like the one that occurred a few weeks ago, to remind everyone of the stakes involved. And I think that for all of the shortcomings of the Chinese leadership, I think they understand that a war is certainly not in their interest. And the Chinese are maybe expansionist in design, but certainly not reckless in practice.
Brad Glosserman of Tama University speaking with VOA's Victor Beatty. Happening now in Asia, stocks in Asia stumbled Thursday following a plunge on Wall Street overnight. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 1.63% in afternoon trade. The Shanghai Composite, meanwhile, erased earlier losses of more than 2.5% to close fractionally higher at 2,603.8. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news alert from VOA Asia, Super Typhoon Yutu is on its way to Southeast Asia after devastating part of the U.S. Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Many homes have been destroyed, says the mayor of Tinian, an island in the U.S. Pacific Territory. All the big stories coming your way through the day on VOA. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a young man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, has set out to do something about the global refugee crisis, even if it only has a modest impact. He started a fashion company while in college, selling accessories with a special connection to refugees. In this report narrated by Molly McKitterick, VOA's June So introduces us to the young entrepreneur.
Perhaps nothing reminds people of the global refugee crisis better than these images taken on a beach in Greece. These jackets, thousands of them, were worn by refugees as they desperately crossed the Mediterranean Sea by boat. The stunning image moved Mohamed Malim, a business major. He started a fashion company last December, and his first product is a bracelet.
This bracelet is made out of recycled life jacket refugees have worn on their journey to safety in Greece. As you can see, the outside is the orange life jacket, and the inside is actually a leather embedded our company's name and our slogan, Building Humanity.
From Alim, now graduated from college, fashion is a tool to tell a story.
Everyone uses fashion in a way where they basically portray themselves, you know, they tell a story, and I wanted to tell a story, you know, through my fashion lenses.
He named his company Epimonia, a Greek word.
It means perseverance. When a refugee flees from a civil war or natural disaster, they go through a lot of hardships during the journey, and they persevere through the journey.
As a former refugee from Kenya, Malim knows how it feels.
My parents fled from the civil war back in Somalia during the 1990s. I was born in Kenya in a refugee camp when I was 3 years old. We first landed in Texas. I know how to overcome those obstacles in America.
The bracelets are made in the Dream Factory in the Netherlands, where Malim's business partner, also his uncle, employs refugees from all over the world.
This bracelet is not only a fashion piece, but it's a vehicle that supports and helps refugees. We give 50% of profit to nonprofit organizations that support refugees.
Malim sells the bracelets online and through college tours where he campaigns to raise awareness of the refugee crisis.
We need to understand that when a refugee flees from war, it's not their choice. And when they come to a new country, we need to embrace their culture, you know, the diversity and their talents that they're bringing in.
Hence, the embracelet. Malim plans to expand to other fashion items. For producer June So in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm Molly McKitterick, VOA News.
And I'm Doug Bernardi in Washington. That is VOA Asia for today and this week. Thanks so much for being with us. You can always visit us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us again on Monday. And until then, have a great weekend.